Good afternoon. I'm Alan Huo, member of the committee.
Thank you very much, honorable member. Mr. Mafisa, the ball is in your court. You can introduce yourself and manage yourself on the bill. Hannah, how about you?
Yes,
please.
Cheka community council tsotsa community le tsona ka ke di bona se di na fisa ke ke tsona le so ba ka tsi le se bona se le na fisa ka tsona lo ke tsona ke mali
I was born in Tandela, Sasotec. I have done my schooling in different schools around the state.
So my main passion is languages. I studied languages at the University of the North of campus. And then I got employed as a teacher at Don Quixote Secondary School in Sasolbeke. And then I moved there to FET College as a lecturer. And I also had a stint here in Parliament working as a language practitioner, translator, not for a long period. And then I moved to the Department of Art and Culture in Victoria to work as a chief language practitioner there. So at the moment, I'm at the Bard University, Northwest University, Bard and Pacific Junior Lecture. So my passion lies in promotion of languages. Multilingualism is my core study. So I've been an activist. Whilst I was employed at the National Department of Art and Culture, assisting in different activities that involve languages. I must also indicate that I was also nominated at the Gauteng Provincial Language Committee, where I also assisted as a Sesotho rep and also a convener for translation and interpreting. So I've been in languages for quite a long time. It's my passion. So my interest in becoming a member of the board is that I would like to see the activities and also the promotion of languages going ahead as what the Act has indicated and also the Constitution. That languages, all official languages in South Africa should be treated in an equitable manner. So, if there is no board, I think some of the activities will not happen accordingly. So, that's how far I tend to
go. Thank you very much. I'm now speaking over to the members of the panel to ask questions. Honorable Makomo.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Mafisa. Let's say you are appointed to serve in the board of Senator. And they are currently associated. There's no more. There are challenges as NASA So I want to know the skills that you can bring in the board to ensure that we don't have challenges that the board has because going forward. We don't have that. What is it that you bring? What type of skills are you bringing into the quality of the board?
Thank you, sir. I wouldn't very much into why not the board was not there. I don't have so many knowledge as to why it hasn't been functioning. But I understand that the board is guided by an act of Act 59 of 1995, that is a So the indication there is that promotion of languages and the furtherance of multilingualism has to happen in the country. We are also guided by the fact that we need people with expertise in the board, like language sociologists, like language planners, who will be able to make sure that languages are promoted in the country. I won't say that I have good managerial skills, if I can say to your question. I am a good player, in essence as a manager, because the board is all about governance and it trickles down to questions of management. So, as a manager, I think I possess the skills of organizing very well and also making sure that if we have projects, we are able to execute them properly, being guided by the Act itself so that languages can be promoted well and can be used in our country.
Thank you very much. In your opening remarks, you just alluded to the fact that you have gotten an extensive knowledge in this field. You have been in different areas, in the same time you also conducted qualification in the field. So I will assume that you understand very well that CAMPAS is a Chapter 1 institution, which is defined within the provisions of our Constitution of the Republic, and such a very important institution. Can you then explain to us your understanding of the mandate of the CAMPAS as it relates to the Language Board Act of 1995 and the Constitution of the Republic?
As it relates to the Constitution, Section 6 of the Constitution indicates that all official languages, 11 official languages, should be promoted and be used equitably. So it's important that PENSA becomes at the center of making sure that our languages are a national resource, as it is stipulated in the Act. So it's also important that we promote other languages that are used in the country for religious purposes like Hebrew and Arabic. But what is key now is to make sure that the official languages are used so that people can get access to information, that is the society. Large. So there are guiding principles there. You have the national policy framework which indicates that there needs to be an implementation plan in the country as it relates to the use of official languages. So the object of PENSAL is to be able to monitor as to whether these languages are being promoted according to the Constitution, together with the sign language.
If you have been given a chance to come and serve the lectures of PENSAL, how will you ensure that there is always an ethical leadership and integrity in the board?
I think as a leader, if given a chance, I should be a good example to whoever I be leading. In any organization, if the leader of the institution is problematic, the whole organization will be a problem. So it's important that I am beyond reproach. I am respectable. I follow the principles of democracy. Listening to other views of other members of the board without dictating my terms. So it's important that all the views that are enshrined in the codes of conduct, for because we are serving the public here, we are here today. We are. I should be an example to other members of the board.
In terms of ethical conduct, what do you think? I understand what you're saying. It's only 5 cents, but whether it's important in that way, when we talk about ethical leadership, what is that in your end of all property?
And those are standard things inside. We can just look at one. I think dignity and that will be dignity and also respect for government institutions, especially for the like PENSAL, so that it should be respected. Who are able to say in this area a survey was conducted, and this is how the demographics look like and the usage of language, so that when there's a distribution of information, it should be able to reach the language communities that are found in that particular area. We found going through serious expenses, but making sure that all these other languages, because you might find that there are other languages that were previously more marginalized than the others, like Isindebele, and you go to a certain area, people are not accessing information in their own language. But like you have indicated, at the university level, there are people who should be doing research from time to time to check as to how is the language usage in a particular area, so that those minor or those previously marginalized language should be saved also.
I wanted to check with you, Anna Jelena. Yes, you were talking about the practicability and the regional aspect that one needs to have in order to maybe to get some aspects that can gather information in order to alert you whether the languages around that region, I think, are treated differently. But in general, when we look at the 11 languages in South Africa, originally, are they taken care of, or are they treated the same? Not talking about Central, but energy as a South African.
Thank you. I wouldn't say that they are all being taken care of equally. Because of circumstances that we find ourselves in South Africa, in provinces, you will find that some of the languages are dominant. If you come to the state, the most dominant language is Sesotho, and it is followed by Afrikaans and also this is so. But my experience has indicated that in most instances, when there is distribution of information in government departments, they tend to distribute information in the language that is most dominant. So it will be upon the board members to make sure that there's equal distribution of information. That is why I'm saying the constitution indicates that we need to look at the practicability of language. So the surveys will actually assist into making sure that we know exactly which languages are more dominant in that particular region, so that it can be saved.
Thank you very much.
What venues are you going to bring the terms out of? And how will these venues assist the board?
I think I will be bringing principled leadership and also making sure that we work according to the prescripts of the law. So principled leadership in a sense that, like I've indicated before, that I regard myself as a good manager. I've been part of committees where people are saying they are available for committees, but when it comes to attendance of meetings. They skip two or three meetings without approval. So if I'm saying I'll go to the precepts of the law, it means I will apply. If you did not attend meetings accordingly, I'll have to apply what the law says. Two consecutive meetings without leave, then you have actually kept yourself out of the committee. So it's about principal leadership and following the precepts of the law.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the two-pronged question. One is, does your university have a language policy and a language unit? And tied to that, what is your understanding of the use of indigenous languages in line with the Constitution, Section 6, Subsection 2, in government departments and universities? And what do you think is the role of PANSARP to ensure that indigenous languages are also used?
Thank you, sir. So my request would be that the question should be in two parts. If you can repeat the first part, that one of language policy at my institution, and maybe we'll come into the other part so that I
Okay, the first part is, does your university have a language policy and a language unit?
At the Northwest University, there is a language policy. In essence, that language policy was only catering for two main languages, which is Afrikaans and English students. So at the moment, there is a process of consultation, and I think it's about to be finalized. It has been indicated that students at that institution prefer to be taught also in their own languages. They don't have a problem. So the expansion will go. There will be Sesotho included, there will also be Setswana included. That is the language policy going forward, being engaged with the whole university community. That one that is underway, and probably by next year or this year, the Senate will have to will be forwarded to the Senate so that it could be put into place of implementation. And you will know that Northwestern University used to be predominantly Africans in a sense. So there are challenges in terms of at the classroom level where the languages are being used, that students will be complaining that sometimes the lecturers will only use Afrikaans instead of English also. But those are the things that are being addressed. And also there is a language unit. It is called the C-Trans. That is where the activities of languages are taking place, like translation and interpreting. So the practicality of it is called happening at the C-Trans, which is the language unit of the university. Yes, there is a language unit. And can you come again with the second part?
Yeah, what is currently happening, I think the rector's institution is driving the process, and under language unit it's basically to see which are the people involved in making ensuring that language equity takes place. But be that as it may, what is your understanding of the use of indigenous languages in line with the Constitution, Section 6? Subsection 2, in government departments and universities, and what do you think is the role of PANSARP to ensure that indigenous languages get used to?
The Constitution has given directives to what I call the Use of Official Languages Act, which directs that national departments and national entities and national enterprises should establish the language union, so that the public can be able to access information in the language of their choice. Those are the indigenous languages that are there. So we have what we call also from the use of official languages and the regulations that are very quite clear as to how a department should go about establishing a language union. It starts with drafting a policy in the national department and making sure that how are they going to select the languages, particularly for the communities or the society that they are serving. So it's a process that is ongoing. As far as my knowledge tells me, is that most of the departments do not have as yet the national, they do not have the language unit, but some of the departments are really trying hard to be able to have those national, to have those language units. So it's important to have them, and also looking at the regulations indicating that public entities or some other national departments can also request for exemptions from the minister. So most of the national public entities, they are moving away from establishing national units. So the role of PENSAL is to go there and monitor and make sure that those units are established as soon as possible.
Thank you very much. Another question. Okay. Another one. Thank you, Chair. I think I must look at this much on the good comments there. But I need to worry that there are some languages that are really out. And what are you doing to them? In the Eastern Cape, we are sure that one of the languages is a cause. We are sure of that. But going as far as the Northern Cape, there are languages that you cannot even greet in there. That is the Nama, the Khoi, and the Sun. What are we doing to them? Or are there also some committees or board members that are doing the activities that your body is doing? Thank you.
Thank you. I do acknowledge that the Constitution does embrace the Khoi, Sun, and the Nama language. So in terms of provinces, PENSAL has the mandate to also establish what we call the PLCs. So it's important that each and every province should have a PLC. And then within the PLC, those previously marginalized languages should have a representative there who will be able to bring the language issues to the committee so that they can be able to be dealt with. Those languages are covered by the Constitution and they are supposed to be promoted like any other language. In Gauteng, you find, when I was still a PLC member, we would have a person who represents the Christian and normal languages, but they don't attend meetings. I don't know what will be what is the program, and those communities are suffering, and their languages need to be uplifted also. But it's about individuals who are present who are saying they would like to serve in communities, but they are not practical in the execution of duties.
Thank you very much. As a follow-up. which area goes to the left hand?
Okay,
ntlha e nngwe gape e bangele gore ke tla tlhagisa ke ena ya gore maano ona a teng empa go kenya tshebetso e batla e le ntshomo e e thata fao gobane ga o ka tlosheta porofense e ka tshwanang le Gauteng e kgetha dipuo leano la teng le ka kgetha dipuo tse dišomeleletsodimong kaofela ke dipuo tse ba le gore di teng ka ga Gauteng porofense di a fele mme ga di fetile jalo leanong go ba bothata a e fitlamane mo leano le re buang ka practicability, usability le yona ntshwene e bitswang expenses ore di
yeah. What Mr. Matita is saying is at times if you look at provinces like Gauteng for instance, you may find that all the official languages are spoken in the province. But when it comes to the practicality of dishing out all of those languages, there are challenges that say the province may face. Availability of people who may work in those languages as an example.
Because Malay analysing is one of the yona e bitsa go fitlhela gore le go kgothaletsa gore mohlomong province kapa national department ke ikgethele dipuo tse tharo tse di tsebang gore bogolo ba tsone ga e isa ditaba setšhabeng di tla fitlhelela batho bogolo ka dipuo tseo. Jale nako nngwe taba ya expense o kebe wa di kgona ka o fela ga re re mohlomong o leka o mo gatise notice e yang setšhabeng ga e sa tabeng ya puo tse dišomeletsego e mongwe kaofela tšhelete ya o ka nnetse ga e ba e le go lefapha e le go felela fela mongwe jale ke dintsho tse ba e le gore ga o le botong o leke gore ga o bua le baga bangwe ba boto le bontshane
the issue of practicality and the expenses that are incurred, especially if, say, on the example of Gauteng, if you were about to say that the notice that is to be taken out to the public, if you are about to spend on all of these services, the 11 of them, you might even end up using your entire budget on that process. But these days, that it is encouraged that each and every province can have at least a minimum of three languages that it will take out public notifications and so on.
Do you have conflicting interests that to the jeopardize your appointment to the board of tender? Could be any conflict of interest? You said you work at the department, isn't it?
I used to work at this particular because I'm no longer with it.
I'm saying, you said you worked. Okay. You don't do business with the head fund?
No. I do not have any business interest because now I'm a lecturer, I'm in the class.
Okay.
The executive meaning the CEO of can you be clear in terms of who are you assuming then? How would I mitigate?
Management, not human, but they are supposed to. So how would you make way to find this green line that no one had to cross, but they are crossing it. If they want to cross it as management, they cross it.
Yeah, that is a challenging one because the CEO should, as appointed by the board, should always make sure that he runs the institutions on a daily basis. I think the board meets at least once in a quarter, and mainly it's about monitoring what is happening in. Particularly on language programs. I don't think that as a board member I will have to go down to a personnel who is at HR maybe whenever there's a dispute. If there is a dispute, now as a board member I want to go there and interpret that this person should be disciplined. I think what needs to be the focus of the board is to look and overall at the role that the board is playing in terms of making sure that the programs are running smoothly. The CEO should be focusing on the day-to-day running of the institution without interfering. I mean, reports are there from the board from time to time, and reports should reflect what is happening in terms of the activities of the board.
Okay. If we had more time, because we are told that our time is up, if we had more time, we would engage on this matter. Because we know that sometimes we get closer reports and there's nothing that is happening. Or there's a lot that is happening and we hear nothing. So this is why the honourable man has to ask him that question of how do you do this thing? Because there is that overlap, and how do you ensure that you have your money as the board within that scenario? But our time is up. We can't go any further. We would like to thank you very much for availing yourself. We said that after the interview, we agreed to collect the information and submit it to the minister. It's the minister that has contact. So the department will have it. Thank you very much for having us. We really appreciate your
attention. Thank you.
Thank you.